Hello and welcome to the Nesson Patriots podcast. I'm Zach Cox, joined as always by Dakota Randall. Big news out of Patriots world on Tuesday. The Patriots officially have a new offensive coordinator, and it is the offensive coordinator that most people expected all along that they would hire. It is Bill O'Brien, who is returning to the Patriots, where he previously worked from 2007 to 2011. The Patriots will hope that he can revitalize an offense that was one of the NFL's worst last season and reset Mac Jones' development after it really took a hit under Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. So, Dakota, I think this is a move that we were both expecting for a while. I think a lot of Patriots fans were expecting for a while. Finally done. Initial thoughts on Bill O'Brien returning to New England.
Yeah, like you said, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. You know, I think it makes sense for the Patriots on all angles. Doesn't mean that there's a bow on the offseason or anything. I think there's still obviously a lot of work for them to do, which we'll get into. But I think, you know, we've been over it a lot. I think the primary issue throughout the season was the offensive coaching, and not just the play calling, but just the general operation of the offense, from route running to the spacing to the discipline, the penalties, really just all of it. And, you know, it looked like the Patriots didn't have a real offensive coordinator. It looked like they only had a play caller and some other sort of mishmash of other coaches trying to assemble an approximation of an offensive coordinator. So it's good that the Patriots get someone actually in there who knows how to run an offense, sort of be the CEO of the offense. And now, you know, the focus is on what do they do to bolster the roster around Mac Jones. I think puts a lot of pressure on him going into a huge third year. And also, just selfishly, it's nice to get this news out of the way. I was pretty sick of this storyline as a whole. It's kind of, you know, been a run here in New England of gray, dreary, wet days. The news for the Patriots had kind of dried up. We're just bashing our heads against the wall on this offensive coordinator thing. So it's nice to kind of have this thing to, you know, get us up and going a little bit.
Yeah, it really seemed about 4 or 5 days ago that this was essentially, as you mentioned, a foregone conclusion. This seems like it was almost the only thing that would give you a little bit of pause was that it almost seemed too obvious. It was almost just right. Basically all the way back to when the Patriots fired, or not fired Josh McDaniels, but when Josh McDaniels left for the Raiders last offseason, pretty much everybody immediately pointed to Bill O'Brien as the kind of most likely successor, the most obvious and desirable candidate for that job. Took the Patriots 12 months longer than a lot of fans might have hoped. And I don't think Bill O'Brien coming back is going to instantly turn the Patriots into a top five offense or anything like that. But the fact that he is an experienced offensive coach who has called plays before, who has coached quarterbacks before, who just simply knows what he's doing, is a very large step up from what the Patriots had last season, or this past season rather, with Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. And I think that alone, even with the current personnel that they have, which there are some spots where they need to improve this offseason, but if you took the team they had this year and gave it competent offensive coaching, I think the Patriots are at very least a playoff team, if not a team that wins, I don't know, 10, 11 games and maybe makes the divisional round, or at least is in the mix there. The offensive kind of incompetence really dragged them down this year. And I think a lot of that is going to be something that they aren't going to have to worry about nearly as much in 2023. I think one of the big kind of storyline takeaways, whatever you want to call it, from this is going to be what this means for Mac Jones and his development and the Patriots' overall evaluation of him. Because I think one of the biggest kind of negative side effects of the whole offensive coaching setup this past season was that we all came out of 2022 not knowing really anything more about Mac Jones than we did going into 2022. He obviously regressed in a lot of areas. His stats obviously were not especially impressive, but it was very difficult to kind of differentiate what was his own fault and what was the fault of the coaching staff putting him in inopportune and unfortunate situations. And I think with Bill O'Brien, you're not going to have that issue this season. I know you wrote about this earlier today, that you'll at least be able to make some sort of judgment one way or the other on Mac Jones now that you have him paired with an actual real offensive coordinator.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think from more often than not, year three is kind of the make it or break it, prove it year for a lot of young quarterbacks. It's not hardly a universal rule. I mean, Daniel Jones this year kind of being a prime example. We don't know if he really is a franchise quarterback or not, but he certainly looks closer to it than he did the previous few seasons. But yeah, I think, you know, this is kind of, you know, assuming that the Patriots do what they need to bolster their offense, the offense around Mac Jones, you know, from offensive tackle to, you know, potentially an upgrade at receiver, you know, and some other tweaks that they need to make, but and then get the coaching that they need. You know, the top issue last year was putting Mac Jones and the players around him in the best position to succeed, and that just didn't happen. I think it's fair to assume this season, it should be more like it was with Josh McDaniels, where, you know, Mac Jones will be put in the position that he needs to lead, to play winning football for the Patriots. You know, and another thing I wonder too is, you know, we always talk about sort of what's a quarterback's, for lack of a better term, superpower, like what's the thing that sets them apart. And for Mac Jones, he's not this tradey, toolsy quarterback. It's really, you know, his mind, his ability to, you know, identify coverages, diagnose the defense, get the Patriots in the right formation and in the right play. And it seemed like they really sort of took those keys away from him during the season. Maybe he got a little bit more control towards the end of the year, coincidentally, when the Patriots started to play better. But you wonder if now with Bill O'Brien coming back in, if one, those controls will go back over to Mac Jones, and two, if they're going to go back to sort of the Patriots offensive system that we're used to seeing. And assuming those things kind of happen, at least in some, to some degree, I think Mac Jones, it's all going to be on him at that point. Does he make the most of it? Does he take the jump that he needs to? Because for all the criticisms that we have of the Patriots, and, you know, a lot of people, like last year, they watch these playoffs and think, oh, the Patriots aren't close to competing with these teams. Then maybe there's some truth to that when you're talking about the Bengals and the Chiefs, but I don't think they're as far away as some other people do. And I think, and this is true for any team, you know, if your quarterback takes that leap, that changes the conversation surrounding a team in a major way. And I think there's an opportunity for him to do that this year. And if he doesn't do it, then, you know, that's kind of on him.
And it seems like they should be a good fit from a personality type standpoint, which I know a lot of people have written about today and in these last couple of days, that Mac Jones saying late in the season that he wanted to be coached harder, that he wasn't getting the kind of, aggressive enough coaching that he wanted. That's not going to be an issue with Bill O'Brien, who's right, notoriously known as being kind of a hothead. There's obviously the famous video of him really just getting in that crazy shouting match with Tom Brady on the sideline back in 2011, I believe that was 2010 or 2011. They nicknamed him Teapot when he was here in New England because of his temper, where he would just kind of blow up for no reason sometimes. Maybe that creates a little bit of volatility if things aren't going well, because Mac Jones, as we all saw last season, definitely has that type of personality as well. But it does seem like they might be on a little bit more of a similar wavelength than what he was getting from his coaching staff this season. And according to the reports that are out there, they had a reasonably good relationship during the brief time that they overlapped at Alabama. Bill O'Brien said that Jones helped him learn Alabama's offense when he arrived, which was after Jones had played his final game at Alabama, but before he went to the draft. I also saw a report out there earlier today that that Jones voluntarily stuck around in Tuscaloosa for an extra couple of weeks just so he could help O'Brien get up to speed. So it does seem like there's already a bit of mutual respect there, which is certainly something that you need from a quarterback and his coach, and something that they probably didn't have quite enough of on the staff this season.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think all that stuff is good. I do think maybe a little too much is being made out of the prior connection at Alabama, just because, you know, it's one thing to, you know, have a study hall for a couple of weeks. It's another thing entirely to have like a working coordinator quarterback relationship for an entire season. But I agree with everything you said about the personalities being a good fit. And we've all seen that clip with Tom Brady a million times, but I hadn't really watched it in a while. And just going back and looking at it today, it's objectively funny.
It's pretty hilarious.
How heated Bill O'Brien really was. It would be interesting if we got a similar flare up this season. But I think I agree with you. I think they're two intense competitors. And I think that it should be a good match. And again, like now the focus goes toward, you know, what do they do to make this roster better? Because while I do think, you know, the fixing the coaching and helping the Patriots getting back to winning on the margins, all those and being disciplined and good situational football, all the things that used to make them have, you know, the highest floor really of any team in football, some of those things started to fall apart here the last few years where their floor wasn't 11 wins. It was, you know, 7-8 wins. Yeah. And so at the very least, I think getting the coaching back in order, and I don't think we should overlook what's happening at the offensive line either. You know, I think everything sort of starts and ends there. So they have to get that part right too. But assuming that all that stuff kind of gets buttoned up again, then, you know, I think if the Patriots make the right roster tweaks, they can get where they need to be. Mm-hmm. So long as Mac Jones plays well.
Yeah. I think the coaching staff question is a good place to transition to here, because we know the Patriots offensive coordinator now, that'll be Bill O'Brien, but we don't know what really any of his staff is going to look like. We don't know if he plans, or he and Belichick rather plan on bringing back the majority of their position coaches and assistant coaches this year. We don't know whether that entire group is going to be completely cleaned out from floor to ceiling. And those questions will be answered in the coming weeks. And those are really ones that the Patriots have to answer before they even start building out their roster. I think it seems like a virtual certainty at this point that that Matt Patricia will not be coaching the Patriots offensive line this season. Reports in the last couple of days suggest he might not even be on the staff at all in any capacity. But I agree with the point you made earlier, that offensive line really is a vital coaching spot for this team, because that unit struggled so badly last season. Obviously it was being coached by Matt Patricia, who was also trying to call plays, and then ended up in a situation where Billy Yates ended up being their pseudo offensive line coach for a lot of the season. Just a bad setup all around. They need to get somebody who knows what he's doing in that role as well. There's been rumors that could be Adrian Clem potentially. Clem, who was the Patriots' first ever draft pick under Bill Belichick, played for the Patriots for 5 seasons back in the early 2000s. He interviewed for this offensive coordinator job, obviously did not get it, but according to a report this morning from Albert Breer, he's expected to come back to New England and interview again for a different role. Given his background, you would imagine that would be offensive line coach rather. So he's certainly a name to watch there. There's also been people who've mentioned Doug Marrone as a potential candidate for that role. But for him to take that, he would need permission from his current team, the New Orleans Saints, because it would be a lateral move. So a couple different names to consider for that job. And then beyond that, we don't know whether Nick Caley will be back, the tight ends coach. There's been reporting this offseason that if he didn't receive a promotion, he was expected to go elsewhere. So in wait and see mode on him. There hasn't been really anything on Vinny Sinceri, the Patriots running backs coach. At wide receivers, I think the fact that Troy Brown and Ross Douglas are both coaching in the East-West Shrine Bowl, which is coming up next week, suggests that both of them will be keeping their jobs and will be on staff, but there is a chance that one or both of them could be reassigned to different positions. And then at quarterbacks coach, Bill O'Brien was announced in all these reports as the Patriots offensive coordinator, but in the past, both in New England and at Alabama, he has been the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. So we don't yet know whether he's taking those responsibilities himself or whether he's going to appoint somebody else to do that. So basically from everything from coordinator down, there's a lot of questions still with this offensive coaching staff.
Yeah. And, you know, one thing I wanted to point out on Adrian Clem, how, you know, that one is a pretty left field candidate for them.
Yeah.
And also just listen, I'm not going to act like I know whether or not Adrian Clem is a good coach or whether I've pored over Oregon or Pittsburgh Steeler film over the last few years. But as an offensive line coach, you know, you're obviously heavily involved in the running game coordination as well. And I just, you know, I don't know how good the Steelers were in those areas when he was there. So he was the assistant O-line coach in 2019, 2020, and he was the primary O-line coach, I believe, in 2021. And just looking at it now, the Steelers, in terms of rushing offense, DVOA, in 2019, they were 30th. In 2020, they were 30th. And in 2021, slight improvement, they were 24th. And, you know, part of that, again, is they didn't have great offensive linemen, but, you know, you coach them up. So I don't know. Maybe I don't know how good of an offensive line coach he is. And the fact that he wasn't able to get another job in the NFL and went to Oregon is kind of suspect to me.
It was,
but again, I haven't watched.
It was a weird situation with him too, because he actually left before the end of his first season as that primary O-line coach in Pittsburgh. He left with two games left to take his current job at Oregon, which is an odd move. Right now, currently, he's the offensive line coach / run game coordinator / associate head coach. So I guess maybe theoretically that's kind of a promotion, but to go from the NFL to college, not really. And to do it in the middle of a season was definitely a bit of a strange move that I'm sure he got questions about in his Patriots interviews. Worth noting, for whatever it's worth, the Oregon offensive line was very good this season. They allowed 5 sacks all year, and they ranked 12th in FBS in rushing. So he at least did a good job with the unit that he had this season, which I'm sure got him on some people's radars. But yeah, he's not a coach that has a extensive NFL coaching resume, like some of the other candidates that the Patriots brought in for this offensive coordinator job, like a Keenan McCardle or a Sean Jefferson. Neither of those guys had offensive coordinator experience, but both have about a decade of NFL experience as position coaches, which raises the question whether the Patriots will take a look at either of them for a position coach or they've never really done pass game, run game coordinator type things, but some job on their staff, whether one of them will be interested in that or not. But yeah, still certainly a lot of questions in there. And then obviously we're waiting to see what becomes of Matt Patricia and Joe Judge, whether either of them sticks around, whether Judge moves over to special teams, which obviously struggled a lot this season. But yeah, still a lot of unanswered questions for sure on this coaching staff.
Yeah. And, you know, again, I just don't, you know, a lot of people probably, you know, overlook or their eyes roll when they start hearing about offensive line talk or coaches and everything, but
assistant coaches in general, I feel like a lot of people just don't pay a lot of attention to.
Yeah. And I understand why, but it's just, you know, it is incredibly important. I mean, and this season should tell you that, like, if you had any doubt of how important that is and, you know, how important someone like Dante Scarnecchia was during his time here, the season should tell you all of that. And so the Patriots can't screw that one up. Like, they have to make sure the offensive line, you know, it is good to go. I mean, maybe it's more like Billy Yates is the primary offensive line coach and Clem is the new assistant. I don't know. But I think the other interesting one here is Nick Caley, because, you know, it seemed like a sort of foregone conclusion that he was going to leave this offseason. And maybe that's still the case. But, you know, outside of those interviews with the Jets, I don't think he's interviewed anywhere else. And there hasn't been really any additional buzz about him potentially getting that job. And so if he doesn't get that job, I don't know, does he make a lateral move to another franchise? I mean, who knows? I mean, it doesn't sound like he's really in the running for any other coordinator gigs. Could he get a promotion here to being the quarterback's coach? Again, like, as you said, it seems like maybe that's something Bill O'Brien could do. So while going into the offseason, it made a lot of sense that Nick Caley would leave, and especially with the Patriots passing him over again for offensive coordinator, it would seem to reinforce that. But maybe there is a path toward him staying this season, which would be interesting too.
Yeah, this is also one of the benefits, at least from our perspective, from a media perspective, of the Patriots coaching in these college all-star games coming up next week, especially the Shrine Bowl, where most of their staff will be next week in Las Vegas. We'll at least get a look at who is on that staff. We probably won't know who exactly is in which position, because people will be coaching up a level. Troy Brown's reportedly the head coach for the team in that game. So we don't know exactly what roles these guys are going to fill, but we'll at least be able to look at the footage and the photos from that and say, oh, well, Ross Douglas is here, so he's probably still on staff. Oh, Vinny Sunseri is here, there's a good chance that he's going to stick around. And then if somebody like Caley or Patricia or Judge pops up as well, that would probably be a pretty good indication that, or not a guarantee, but a good indication that they would be part of the Patriots' plans for the upcoming season. So we'll at least get a couple of hints from that once they arrive there next week. And then from a personnel perspective, this doesn't really change any of the offseason needs that we've talked about, but it does allow the team and the fans and us as reporters to kind of shift your focus a little bit away from this offensive coordinator position, which pretty much everybody viewed as the Patriots' biggest offseason need, now to, all right, what do they need to do to this roster to put themselves in the best position to succeed next season? Obviously, offensive tackle is going to be a major priority for them, because right now the only tackles they have under contract for next season are Trent Brown and Andrew Stuber, who didn't play at all this season. I think we'll see if they go out and try to target one of those high-end wide receivers, high-end pass catcher types. I personally think they should, but doing so this offseason is going to be a little bit more difficult, because there aren't going to be any of those types of players available in free agency. Then you go over to the defensive side, you look at somewhere like cornerback that could certainly use a bit of an upgrade, potentially at safety, depending on what Devin McCourty's retirement decision is. And then even just looking internally at some of these Patriots free agents, their internal free agents, which we've started looking at and writing about this week. A lot of prominent names on that list, from Jacoby Myers to Jonathan Jones, Damian Harris, Nelson Agholor, Jabril Peppers, Miles Bryant, a bunch of their tackles. There's close to 20 of them this year in varying levels of importance and notoriety. But from when you're looking at it, what's the priority for the Patriots here from a roster perspective?
You know, I think number one has to be offensive tackle. I think for sure. You know, and I don't know if that's in the draft or, you know, they identify a veteran or someone that they want to trade for. You know, it's tough, because if you knew what you were going to get from Trent Brown on a yearly basis, you'd feel a lot better, even in terms of moving him back over to right tackle. You'd say, all right, we have at least him. And then it's, you know, not quite as hard to find one tackle, but they might be in a situation where they have to get two this offseason, which makes things quite difficult. I don't know how many teams switch both of their tackles during an offseason. That seems like a pretty dramatic change. But, you know, it's one that they might have to make. But regardless, they have to improve on the offensive line. And, you know, I think, you know, with the right coaching and you know, the right tweak or two, I think the offensive line can be much better this season. I mean, I think you still have David Andrews, Mike Nwenu's excellent. I think Cole Strange turned a corner at the end of the season and should be a good player. And then even if you move Trent Brown back over to right tackle, he's an above average right tackle. And then it's just, you know, who do you get on the left side? So I think that's the top priority. On defense, I really think they need to go get a true shutdown corner again. With or without Jonathan Jones, you know, I think he's a really good player. And certainly Jack Jones and Marcus Jones showed a lot of promise this season. We'll see what happens with Miles Bryant. But, you know, I think when the Patriots defense is at its best and it's really able to do what it wants, it has a top cornerback like Stephon Gilmore, J.C. Jackson, Darrell Revis, go on and on, who, you know, takes out the opposing team's best weapon, you know, really make sure the coverage is on point. And then that obviously helps the pass rush, helps a lot of other things. I think they need to get back to having that. Easier said than done. And I know there's a couple mock drafts that have them using the 14th pick on a cornerback. A lot of us think it should be a tackle. We'll see. But I think those two, just for overall team, are my top needs. And then I still think they need, you know, imagine how much better would you feel about the defense if they had someone like Dante Hightower. Again, I know that's easier said than done, but, you know, a real franchise inside athletic linebacker. Juwan Bentley and Jelani Tavai are fine, but I think they could still really use an upgrade there. Mack Wilson didn't pan out, neither did Raekwon McMillan. And then, you know, we all talk about receiver. I think I go back and forth on it, whether they need the elite stud receiver. Obviously, that would help a lot of things. You know, maybe it's not something quite that intense. Like if they had gotten, like, let's say Christian Kirk last offseason, you know, would that have sufficed? I don't know. But I do think regardless, they need to upgrade the passing game to some extent. And then one more note, I do wonder if, with Bill O'Brien coming in, if they go back to the old Patriots system to some degree, if they bring back a fullback, I think that would have helped a lot last season. So that will be kind of interesting to watch this year. But yeah, I'd say those sort of four to five areas are the big ones for me. And then maybe replacing Devin McCourty. We'll see.
Yeah. So still plenty of roster questions for sure. I believe I haven't dug too deeply into O'Brien's kind of scheme and tape at Alabama, but I'm pretty sure that they utilized a fullback of some sort in that offense last year as well. And one last note on what O'Brien could potentially bring. I think it is notable and interesting that he was the offensive coordinator during the 2011 season for the Patriots, which was really the peak of the two tight end Gronk Hernandez era. Those guys had 2,200 yards and 24 touchdowns that season. It was just preposterous production from their tight ends. Obviously those were two phenomenal players. And I don't think Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith are on that same level talent wise. But it's going to be interesting to see whether Bill O'Brien can maybe do some things scheme wise to maybe try to get Hunter Henry back to the level that he was at in 2021, where he was that really productive red zone threat, and just try to milk anything out of Jonnu Smith, who really has not given the Patriots much at all since he signed that contract 2 years ago now. So that's going to be an interesting wrinkle in this whole thing, is seeing how Bill O'Brien views some of the weapons that are already in the Patriots system, how he views somebody like Tyquan Thornton, who played a lot but didn't really offer that much production as a rookie this year, and whether any of those players can be more productive coming in here in 2023. That should just about wrap it up. Any final thoughts on Bill O'Brien and where the Patriots go forward from here?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything. You know, I think the other big shoe to drop here is what happens with Matt Patricia. I think that's very interesting. I think entering the offseason, a lot of us thought that maybe he would just get reassigned to O-line coach or back up in the front office. There's been some more reporting this week saying that he could be gone entirely. So I just think, given the relationship with Belichick, given the whole Matt Patricia Patriots thing, it would be interesting to see whether or not he's back in any capacity. Same thing with Joe Judge. What happens there? I believe he's got like 2 years left on his Giants contract, whereas Patricia's with the Lions was up. So that might come into play. But yeah, the fate of those two is really something I'm curious to see what happens here. But yeah, nothing else to add on O'Brien. I think it's a win-win for the Patriots and Mac Jones. And now we can get on to the other offseason storylines finally.
I agree with all of those points. And that will do it for this week's Nesson Patriots podcast. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at Zach Cox Nesson. You can follow Dakota at Dak Randall Nesson. And you can follow along with all of our Patriots offseason coverage on Nesson.com.